I'm glad you're here for another day of Soul Healing Services. This is a great opportunity for us to come together and celebrate God and learn more about what He has for us, in store for us, and to receive it more fully. Because God has already provided everything. It's a matter of us learning how to receive it, learning how to take it into our hearts and into our lives, put it into there. It's not just for the spiritual world. It also includes the physical world. So all the blessings and abundance that God promised are for you right now. It's just a matter of you opening up more fully to receive it so you can understand it. Today is a special day. Today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. I don't know if you remembered that, but Palm Sunday, it has nothing to do with your hands, although I know when we're praising God, we put our palms up to God. Yeah, we clap, we celebrate God, but it has nothing to do with our palms of our hands. It has to do with when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And when he was returning to Jerusalem, the people heard that he was coming. And he was riding on this donkey. And they went out to meet him. And as they went out there, they began to lay their clothes down on the road before the donkey. And they began to cut down branches and lay them down. And there were palms that they were laying down there. And as he came forward, they began to say, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" is what they cried out as the Lord came in. This was a day of celebration. Palm Sunday is a day of celebrating God and the great things he's going to do. And Hosanna means the one who's going to save us. This is the one that's going to save us, they were yelling out. Hosanna, Hosanna is what they were saying as Jesus was coming. And they had heard the stories of what he was doing in the countryside. They had heard the miracles that he worked. And in particular, they had heard about him raising somebody from the dead named Lazarus. And so they came out to see this guy. And they were beginning to understand. They knew who he was. And they were saying, Hosanna, the one that's going to save us. And he was going to Jerusalem for a very particular reason. And a lot of people forget this. He was going to celebrate the Passover. And so we have to remember that the Passover, let me tell you a little bit about it in case you forgot. I know a few months ago we were studying quite in depth the story of the Exodus. And we were going through all these different things and we covered the Passover. But let me touch on it again. Because remember, Jesus is going into Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday in order to celebrate the Passover. And the Passover had taken place some 1,443 years before, and or approximately. And it was that time when the people of Israel were asking God to deliver them out of Egypt, out of the hands of bondage, out of, away from Pharaoh. Because right now, at that point, they were enslaved by the Egyptians, and they had been enslaved for many, many generations. And they were asking for deliverance. And they already had gone through 9 plagues, and that wasn't enough to soften Pharaoh's heart to let the people of Israel go, to let them go free. Instead, his heart was hardened and he was resisting and he was not heeding the word of the Lord. He was not appreciating what God was saying. Instead, he was resisting. And so there was a 10th plague to come. And the 10th plague was going to be the death of the firstborn. The death of the firstborn in every household. And it even included all the animals as well. Whatever was the firstborn was going to die in this plague. And God gave them a warning and told them, this is the plague that's coming. But then he instituted the Passover. And the Passover was the ritual that they were supposed to do the day before the Passover. They were to pick a lamb without blemish, and they were going to slaughter it, and then they would use the blood for that. They would place it on the doorpost and on the lintel, the top of the door. So the doorway was covered in the lamb's blood. And then they would go into their house. And in their house, they would cook this lamb over fire, and then they would eat it with some bitter herbs and some unleavened bread. And this was what the Passover was. And they were to stay in their house all night so that the destroyer that was coming on that night to take the firstborn would then pass over their house. He would not come into their house if they had this blood on there. And God had told them, and this particular plague, all the ones that heeded the word of the Lord were protected, and the destroyer went over their house. Those that did not lost their firstborn. Firstborn of the family, but also the firstborn of all the animals were lost. And this was enough for Pharaoh to finally say, I let the people go. The people of Israel, I let them go. That's enough. That was a price that was paid in order to release these slaves. And the bondage was broken. They were set free. No longer imprisoned now, but freedom had been received. And this 10th plague was what took it in order to create this freedom so that they could now go and follow God into the wilderness and follow him to the promised land. This was what the whole thing was about in this promise. And they were told to remember the Passover. And so for 1,443 years, they had remembered it. They had told it to their kids. And every year, they celebrated the Passover and they remembered, this was our freedom. Our freedom was given to us on this night. Our freedom was given to us out of Pharaoh's hands and into God's hands. The chains were broken on this night, and we were allowed to go free. And they were allowed to now begin to receive the blessings of their hard work and their toil. So all the things they worked for in the past when they were slaves went into Pharaoh's hands. It made Egypt richer. But here now, they were able to receive the blessings from God. They were able to receive the promises of God. And they had been remembering this for a long time, always celebrating it. And here Jesus comes into Jerusalem now on Palm Sunday, as what we know as Palm Sunday now. It wasn't known at that time as that. But we remember them saying, here comes the one that's going to save us. And he came there to celebrate. And he told his disciples to go and follow a man who was going to be carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him to his house. And then tell him, we need a room for the Passover. The teacher needs a room for the Passover with his disciples. And sure enough, the disciples went, they found a man, they followed him, and they said, you know, the teacher needs a room. And he had a room all prepared for the Passover for Jesus and his disciples. And this is where they would celebrate this wonderful remembrance. Jesus had celebrated the Passover a few times before with his disciples. He had celebrated a few times in his life. He was like probably 33, I guess, at the time. So he had done this every year. He had remembered this, and now he's going and doing this with his disciples, remembering the Passover, following the same traditions, taking a lamb without blemish, meaning it was perfect. There was nothing wrong with this lamb. And then they would sit down and they would have this meal and they would eat those bitter herbs and that unleavened bread and they would drink some wine and they would stay in that house all night, protected, remembering that this plague had delivered them out of bondage, out of slavery. On this particular night where Jesus had this Last Supper is what it became to know of, but it was a Passover dinner. We should remember it that way too, where he was celebrating Passover. He instituted something a little different on this particular Passover. He added something to it. Because as he was breaking the bread, which was the tradition to break the bread and eat that unleavened bread, he said, this is my body. And he was saying, let me read it right here from Mark chapter 14, verse 22. He says, take, eat, this is my body. That's what he said once he broke the bread. And then he took the wine. And after they'd all drank from him, he said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. So here he added a new covenant, a new agreement. The bread in the spiritual meaning represents God's goodness. The goodness of God being received. The wine represents God's truth, receiving God's truth. Anything that we eat spiritually, it represents something becoming a part of us. Just as when we eat or drink food, it becomes a part of our muscles, it strengthens us, it energizes us, the good parts go into rebuilding, creating new cells, creating new things, right? So the same thing here, as we're receiving God's goodness and God's truth, and he's saying, this is my body. because he is the representative, as they already recognized when they were saying, Hosanna. They're knowing this is God. He has come to deliver us, to save us. And at this time, you know, you might be asking, what does this have to do with me, Ted? How is this relevant to my life today? You might be saying, I'm not Jewish. I've never celebrated the Passover, so what does this have to do with me? Or you might be saying, well, I don't see the relevance of it because there's no destroyer over top of my life, so what am I worried about? But every one of us has a destroyer that comes into the life. It manifests in different ways, as fear, as guilt, as misunderstandings. You know, when we start having fear and misunderstanding in our life, it prevents us from moving forward. It prevents us from becoming who God created us to be. It stops us and holds us back. And the more that we get stopped and held back, we can't become everything that we were created to be. We can't reach our full potential. We can't receive the blessings that God wants to pour down upon our spirit. What Jesus was doing in this new covenant wasn't to break us out of Egypt. It was to break us out of the bondage of the false understanding, out of the darkness, out of the fear, out of the guilt, all the things that were trying to stop us from becoming who we created to be. Jesus was now setting us free in a greater sense for everybody, not just one nation, but for everybody upon the whole earth. It was an opportunity for us to step out. See, when something happens, sometimes when we get poisoned, we need an antidote. If you get bit by a snake, you need snake venom, right? You need an antidote, or the poison will destroy you. It will kill you in your life. The same thing was true many years before. A serpent poisoned humanity. Misunderstanding crept in. We released that connection with God, and we began to walk in our own way. We began to walk in a different way, and as a result of that, we had this poison that was destroying our life. Jesus is the antidote to that poison. And when we receive him into our hearts, then it marks the door of our heart. It marks it with his blood. He's known as the Lamb of God. He is that lamb without blemish. He was perfect. He was, you know, he had no deceit. He had no falsity. He was filled with the light, the truth. He spoke the words of God, and he could perform miracles because he was that close. He was in a complete alignment with God. He was one with God in all ways. And as a result of this, when we receive the Lord into our hearts and into our minds, we also are set free from that poison. He is the antidote. You could say the curse. Now the curse was of poverty. The curse was of falsity. The curse was of sickness. But once we receive the Lord, we no longer live under that. We now live under the blessing. Remember when the people of Israel left Egypt? They left with all the wealth of Egypt. All the gold and silver of Egypt went with them. Because now they were no longer living under a curse. They were living under a blessing. And the same is true for us when we have the Lord's blood upon our heart, which represents truth. When we have his truth and his goodness upon us, when we receive it into our hearts, that now we too can now walk in the blessing of life. And this is where it's very important for us to remember that God has wanted to bless us. And we can receive that blessing once we receive the antidote, once we receive Jesus into our heart. Now we can start to walk in a new way. We can start to receive in a greater way. We can start to receive prosperity. No longer poverty. The curse is the poverty. We don't have to live under that anymore. We can live in prosperity. We can receive all the blessings that God wanted us to have. We can receive the health. Sickness is the curse that we were living under. But once we receive that new covenant, the Lord into our heart, we now can live in health. We can live in strength. We were helpless and taken advantage of under the curse. But under the Lord, we are free. We have the authority. We have the dominion. God gives it to us. And now we can walk and fulfill all things that God planned for us. He created us for a purpose, and we can now fulfill that with God when we have him in our hearts. This is one of the wonderful things for each of us to understand as we move forward in life. We don't live under that anymore, that curse. We live under the blessing. We live in favor. We walk in favor with God. And we want to remember this each and every day, that this is why it was a great celebration. Hosanna! This is the one that's going to set us free. And he wasn't just setting them free from slavery of a physical nature. He was setting us free on all levels. He was setting us free spiritually to become who God created us to be. He was setting us free to receive the love of God, to have the fellowship of God, to be one with God again, to feel God's love and God's goodness, and to receive God's blessing and God's favor upon our life. This is the real reason to celebrate on this Palm Sunday, remembering what the whole purpose was, that he came to help us, to set us free. And now that we have received the blessing, we want to walk in the blessing every day. We want to be reminding ourselves, I'm under the blessing. I walk in the favor of God. When I walk with God, good things happen. Isn't it funny how synchronicities come when we're walking in the favor of God? Jesus kind of showed this. He sent his disciples off. The disciples were walking in the favor of God. They saw a man carrying a pitcher of water, and they followed him. And they went to his house exactly like it was supposed to be. And then they said, the teacher needs a room. And guess what? The guy had a room. Things like this is a synchronicity, but things like this happen in your life too when you walk in the favor of God, when you walk in the blessings of God, when you're in alignment with God and you have been renewed in your mind. Because sometimes you might have already said, Lord, come into my heart. But in your mind, you might be thinking, I'm still under the curse. I'm still going to get sick. I'm still going to have a struggle with money. I'm still going to have a problem with my relationships. I'm still not going to receive blessings. Man, this is going to be hard. This is going to be difficult. If you're thinking like that, then you're still living under a false misconception. Because if you receive the Lord, you receive the antidote to the curse. The serpent has no power over you. How long does the antidote last, is the question. If you get bit by a snake, right, and you receive the antivenom, how long does it last? Does the antivenom last a day? Does it last a week? Does it last a month? Does it last a year? Is it only 10 years and then the antivenom wears off and the poison kills you? No. Once you've received the antivenom, the poison has no power over your body anymore. Once we receive that antidote, the Lord, into our hearts, once we have that new covenant in our hearts, there is no venom that can hurt us. No longer the poison has power over us. The darkness does not have power over us. Falsity does not have power over us. Because we're now standing in the light with God. And that antidote doesn't last a single day or a single week or a single year. It lasts to eternity. We will always, once we have received it, and it's a gift from God, once we have received it, we always have it. Once we receive the gift, we have it. We have it permanent. We have it all the time. We have it forever and ever. And this is what we need to start renewing in our minds. We need to get our minds in alignment with where our hearts are. Because once we receive the Lord, our hearts begin to change. But we need to change those thoughts and those ideas that we have in our mind. We need to start peeling out those thoughts that say things have to be difficult. Oh, I'm going to live in poverty. No, you got to get rid of that. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your family has, you know, been in poverty for generations. It was broken the minute you received the Lord. You now live in prosperity. You now live in abundance. You now multiply and are fruitful. It doesn't matter if you came from a sickly family for generations that they were sick and they just, you know, had all kinds of diseases and all kinds of problems of every nature. If you receive the Lord, you no longer live under the curse of sickness. You now live under health. But we need to get that into our mind, because you might be remembering, well, my grandmother was sick, so I'm sick too. No, you need to change that thinking. Take that thought out and remember what God said. You're under the blessing of God. You're under the favor of God. Sickness does not have power over you. Paul was renewed in his mind to such an extent. Paul, the disciple that followed, or the apostle that followed him, the Saul that became Paul, this guy, remember him? That he could perform miracles because he had dominion over sickness. One time he was bit by a snake, a very poisonous snake. And the people that were with him thought, oh, he's going to die. He doesn't got a chance. But yet he didn't die. Why? Because he had the antivenom, and his mind had been renewed to the point where he knew, this poison has no power over me because my God has given me victory. My God has given me healing. My God has given me life. And in receiving life, this serpent's venom has no power over me. No destroyer will come upon my house. Our house meaning our life. And the destroyer will pass over your life once you've received the Lord into it. And then we need to renew the mind so we can begin to receive the blessings and the prosperity and the abundance and all the promises of God that he has poured out upon us. This was the fulfilling of all the promises. The new covenant means now that we can walk with God in blessings and prosperity and abundance. And this is a promise that is fulfilled here in the Lord. When he came into Jerusalem, the people recognized, this is the one that's going to save us. Hosanna. Hosanna. And then he fulfilled that. In this Lord's Supper, this Passover thing, ritual that he did, he added the new covenant to it. We no longer have to kill the lamb and remember the Passover of getting out of Egypt. Now it's about remembering the Lord, not just every year, but every day, remembering the Lord and remembering that he delivered us from the destroyer. The destroyer will pass over your house, or in another way of saying that, pass over your life. The destroyer has no power over you. You have power over the destroyer. You have power over sickness. You have power over poverty. You have power over falsity. You have power over darkness because you received it in the name of Jesus. You received that strength and that goodness the minute you invited God into your heart, Jesus into your heart, you received it. And the doorway of your heart is now protected and nothing can enter in that is false. So watch the words and the thoughts of your mind. If you begin to think that things are difficult, then it's time to go back and renew your mind, refresh it in those living waters that God speaks. Sometimes we'll have a thought come in that'll say, well, I'm not going to receive that abundance. That is a wrong thought. That is not a thought of God. Because God has said, I'm going to bless you. You're going to prosper. You're going to prosper above all. And so we need to put that thought in place. Ask God, fill me with that faith. See, as long as we have the faith in God and we are walking with him hand in hand, and the faith is unshakable, then we start to receive, we start to manifest in our life all the promises of God, all the blessings that God has said. And all we have to do is keep reminding ourselves, what are the blessings? All we have to do is keep remembering the new covenant that Jesus came so he could deliver us from the destroyer. All we have to do is keep reminding ourselves, it doesn't matter what happened with my parents. It doesn't matter what happened with me. Maybe it was only a few years ago that you didn't have the Lord in your heart. You have to remember, it doesn't matter what happened to me before. This is a new chapter. The antidote is working. Not just for a single day, but it's working for eternity. That antidote, the Lord in our heart, is working all the time. And we need to be remembering it and walking in it. Not looking back at problems we had before, but looking ahead to the promises of God. And that is what is in my life too. And I receive those promises. I receive that blessing that God is putting into my life.